Welcome to the How to Raise Money podcast for anyone who wants to raise other people's money for a business or property venture. Right now, there has never been more money on the planet, and there has never been more opportunity. This podcast will help you put the two together. So, if you need money for your business or property proposals from banks, lenders, angels, whales, or dragons, this is the podcast for you.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to yet another, I know, wearing you out, yet another episode of the How to Raise Money podcast with me, Ray McLennan.
And it's with me, still here, Nigel T. Best. Raymondo, how the devil are you, eh?
Good. It's been a good week. Had a few pieces of good news for a change. Instead of getting, you know, getting a kicking and the light at the end of the tunnel is not an oncoming train. A few pieces of good news. Again, it's good steps towards where we want to be. So I'm not gonna, you know, blow the lid open yet until it's actually done. You know the usual. Don't get excited until the fat lady sings. Well, she's climbing onto the stage. She's getting the microphone ready. We're getting there. You're probably not even allowed to say that anymore, are you?
I don't think so.
Probably not. All right.
Okay. You probably can only say until the non-gender specific person or thing.
Oh, my God. Thing.
You're probably not allowed to say stage. You're probably not allowed to say enter stage left. So as if by magic, the shopkeeper appeared and sang the end of the opera. How about that?
Oh dear. Anyway, so we're getting towards things, some good stuff, all of which will be announced when the time comes and when it's appropriate to do so, et cetera, et cetera. But what else has been good is, we've really kind of, kicked over a hornet's nest
probably resonated with a lot of people or touched a nerve with a lot of people, a few of whom have even said, I was advised to not revisit this area for my mental health. However, the potential that we've sort of mentioned in previous episodes, so the previous two episodes, folks, if you haven't listened to them, listen to those. What is it, 205, 206 or something like that?
Yep.
You know, what they're saying there, it has intrigued people. The curiosity element has piqued their curiosity, as they say. Uh-huh. And so people are getting in touch. And honestly, Ray, it has been a really, really solid, steady response. So a couple of things that I thought were interesting. It's amazing when people listen to the podcast. So I'm always sort of thinking everyone must be waiting for it to drop whenever it drops in the week.
Yeah.
And that's clearly not the case. You know, people tune in whenever, so which is great. Whenever it is, it's great. We've had quite a few people who have just started putting stuff back on their YouTube channel. Quite a few people have looked at that. We've been contacted by people in America who found the YouTube clip rather than on podcast. So that's fantastic that we're getting seen on the YouTube as well as the podcast. But then the other thing is, you know, there's an awful lot of people out there who feel, and the sense to me, Ray, in just about all of these emails is the frustration of feeling powerless at the situation they've found themselves in. And, you know, feeling that they're on their own. And I think this is a classic divide and conquer, isn't it? So if you isolate someone, they feel that they have no solution because no one else can be in that position. And therefore, you tend to feel that you're definitely going to struggle to overcome this giant, this behemoth up against you. And you tend to crumble. And what they've found from listening is, okay, maybe we don't have an answer for you. Maybe we don't have a solution. Maybe we don't have a particular way that you could get justice, as it were. However, it is worth examining because we are finding that more and more people are finding solutions that they just thought were out of reach, just thought were impossible at this point. So, Ray, we've had a few, haven't we? And they've been fascinating tales. So thank you, first of all, to each and every one of you who's written in, and it has been a lot with this. Thank you for being so candid, so open, so amusing. I have to say, Ray, the number of people that kick off the email by saying, I always like listening to you and having a laugh at your podcast. And I thought, well, I didn't realize we were doing a comedy one, but clearly they appreciate our approach, which is serious, but you've got to smile and have a joke.
Well, exactly. I mean, life is so bloody serious at the best of times. You may as well have a bit of fun doing what you're doing.
Absolutely.
So the last two episodes, for those of you who haven't listened to, have been about a process called a commercial lien, which essentially is if you have been harmed by someone, an organization, something, perceived harm, and we use the analogy of banks and bank loans, then people might be put off by having to go to court or trying to do something or speaking to a lawyer who put them off. And then there's the thought of legal fees and all the rest of it. There is a process called commercial liens. And we went into it in a bit of detail. We certainly went into it in detail in the first episode, two episodes ago. And then last week we did one which was frequently asked questions because we'd received a deluge of emails. Well, we're still, I think it's safe to say, Nigel, that we've had more emails about this particular episode than any other.
Definitely.
And we have been responding to them. So people have been emailing hello@htrmoney.co.uk and getting a reply pretty much straight away to their own personal circumstances. And if we can help, we can help. And we haven't been able to help in every case. I mean, there was one chap who contacted and said, this might be ideal for me, but here's my circumstances. And I thought immediately, no, that it's not the right one for you. The right one for you is to go the following route, which he hadn't thought of. And I do think for that particular person, that the route I suggested was better for him. He'd get a better result, I think, than going down a commercial lien route. So I suppose to touch on that, because it's one of those that sounds a bit cryptic, saying, I suggested this, I suggested that. It was pretty straightforward. Somebody owed him some money, and they hadn't paid him, and they declared that they had no money in the company and there was nothing he could do. And I suggested, well, you know, if you've sent an invoice, then you can send a statutory demand. And under the rules and regulations, the insolvency rules, if a limited company in the United Kingdom owes you £750 or more and they're unable to pay their debts, then you're perfectly entitled to instruct a receiver or a liquidator or insolvency practitioner, someone like that, who can walk into the premises brandishing the stat demand and say, well, you haven't paid, I'm here to take over the company. Now, in a small, you know, £100 Lockshare Capital company, they've got no asset, no nothing, that's kind of pointless. And any receiver would look at that, go into company's house and say, well, look, they're not doing anything. They haven't filed any returns or you know, their turnover doesn't justify me going in there, because when they go in there, they obviously want to try and get fees somehow. And if there's no fees to be had, no bank accounts to attach, whatever it is, they will look to you to pay their fees. So they'll say, well, okay, I will wind them up if you like, but you need to put me in funds. And that's usually between £3,000 and £5,000. So you have to be careful who you use it for. However, it's very, very handy against someone like NatWest, Lloyds, Santander, Bank of Scotland, Royal Bank of Scotland, or in my case, British Airways. You can send them a stat demand, and if they don't pay it, you threaten them that you will appoint a receiver. They very quickly get their act together when you do that, and it can be done quite quickly. So if you're listening to this and thinking, well, I've got a company that owes me money, and they're, you know, they're quite well to do, they've got the money, they're just pissing me about, you know, go straight for the stat demand, seriously. You know, Insolvency Act 1986, I think it's section 21 or something. And you can download the forms online and you can just basically fill them in. And the visual aspect of that form can be quite, how can I put it, quite motivating for for a company. So it might be an angle you're thinking about. You don't need to use a lawyer to do it, because all you need to do is send an invoice, give them 7 days to pay the invoice. If they don't pay the invoice, you can send them the stat demand. Now, a stat demand, statutory demand, can usually, you know, usually people say you've got to give 7 days notice, 14 days notice. You actually don't need to give any notice. If they haven't paid the invoice on, you know, a 7 day invoice, then on day eight, you can walk into the company to wind them up. You can do it that quick if you wish. And very powerful, especially if you're going up against, like I say, a PLC. Usually they won't let it get that far. But my experience with dealing with PLCs and stat demands and invoices is you'll send them one. That one part of the company will dispute it or say, no, that's not true, it's not done. And another part of the company will pay it. You can get on the same day, you can get a letter telling you to get lost and a check from a different department. So that has happened in the past. So anyway, there are different horses for different courses. And the one we were talking about, commercial liens, is an avenue that is being used to great effect, shall we say. So far, it's being used to great effect. And listen to the other two episodes and you'll find out. So some of the people that have contacted us are in a position to do that, and some of them are not. But like I say, everybody's circumstances are different. You know, as with anything, it depends. And so because it depends on the specific circumstances of a case. It depends on the particular details of a case, you know, the amounts, who it is, and all sorts of things. So yeah, hello at HDR Money. If you've got some circumstances and you think, well, actually, I'm not quite sure here, I was going to talk to my lawyer about it, just fire us a quick, you know, a couple of lines. We don't need war and peace, just a couple of lines, and we'll see if we can help. Hello at hdrmoney.co.uk, Nigel.
And of course, it's not advice, folks. It's purely for fun and educational reasons only. Yeah. I was going to say stocks and shares can go up as well as down. Your investment may be worth less than when you put your money in.
You're not seeing it quick enough, Nudge. You've got to see it really, really quick.
I know. Your mobile phone may be cut off if you don't insert it into, you know, all those sort of things, folks. No, it's something that I think, Ray, I think a lot of people are put off simply because it feels like it's an absolute minefield. It feels like there's so many things that you have to do. You feel like you could be paying fees here, fees there. And it's one of these things that people are thinking, well, I'm not even sure if I'm going down the right route. And the trouble is, a lot of people won't even tell you if you're going down the right route until you've crossed their palms with silver. And then after a while, they sort of go, well, of course, the chances of success of this approach are nil. And you go, thanks for your little for that. You know, do I get my money back? And the answer is, of course, no. So we're kind of stepping in and just sort of saying, okay, right. If you're thinking, I'm not sure if there is an option, there's maybe three. And we would say, have a go at this one first. And this one will cost you the price of a stamp and a bit of your time. That sort of approach, as opposed to, well, let's all troop off and get one of the top silks in London to present a case, and we'll do it as if we're doing Enron against Arthur Anderson or whatever it was. You know, that's not the case. We want to just try and give you a bit of hope, a few things that you can try that you know might just help along the way, but. Yeah, we're not going to do chapter and verse on your circumstances. We're not going to delve into it. We're not going to analyze it. We're not going to do it. We take it at face value. You say this has happened. We say, well, you might want to try this then. Leave it kind of at that level. However, in the future, Ray, we are looking at sort of establishing maybe something which is a little bit more of a template, a step-by-step approach. So stay tuned, folks. We don't want to, again, talk about stuff that we haven't gone through, that we haven't seen work and all the rest of it at this point. But things at the moment, Ray, are looking promising on that front, aren't they?
They certainly are, Nigel. Yeah. It was one of the bits of good news last week of a particular case. Along circumstances, detail circumstances, timings, amounts, all the rest. It was very, very similar to another one that's kind of sitting in the wings. And that case was successful. In other words, the client received a verdict that they were very happy with. And that will affect a number of other potential clients. So it's good news. And I'm just sort of waiting, because there is a sort of period of time where an appeal could be made, but it's unlikely because the appeal process, the timings they've all gone for the defendant, shall we say, the defendant being our bank. The timings have gone for them. They're too late to respond. I'm struggling to see, well, on what grounds can they appeal? And I even spoke to a couple of lawyers, and they went, well, they can't because they're too late. You know, they're too late to appeal on these grounds. So because they've now received a verdict, now we're talking about Wednesday, Thursday last week, or I found out on Thursday, and I think the case was decided on Wednesday. Had it been me, I would have immediately slammed a stat demand in on the bank for the amount. I would have given them 7 days to pay, saying there's the court order. So I would have done that on Thursday or Friday. If I received the documents that said, well, actually, yep, we've won, I wouldn't give them a chance to appeal or anything like that. I'd get it right in there, stat demand, and then I'd be contacting a firm of receivers to walk in, because they're guaranteed to get paid. I mean, if I gave them the stat demand and said, here, go and serve that on this well-known bank, they would have rubbed their hands together with delight, because, you know, turning up for the day to serve it, they'd have probably got themselves 15 grand or something, and I'd have got paid immediately as well. Because there was nowhere for them to go. So I don't know what the client is going to do in those circumstances or what he has been advised to do, but that's what I would have been doing. Straight in there, rat up a drain pipe, no hanging about, you know, because that's what they would do. Be under no illusions. They would be, you know, if a bank is coming after your business, they're coming after your business, and they'll send you the, you know, the customary letters giving you so many days and all this. And they're all very polite, aren't they, Nigel? You know, you owe us £2 million. I know we've got a loan in place, and I know you've been paying the loan, but we've decided that you've breached some onerous terms of our particular loan that you didn't even see because they're hidden in the depths of the small print. But hey, you've breached them anyway. And now, could you please repay the loan of £2.5 million within 7 days? Here's our bank account. Thanks very much. Have a nice day. You know, that's what they would do.
Well, I don't think they'd even give you 7 days. They gave us 24 hours.
Did they? Well, I've heard stories of that as well. Yeah.
Well, it wasn't. No, it wasn't even 24 hours. It was they arrived at about 10 and they said today. So we had 14 hours. There you go. I mean, one of the things, Ray, I've never quite been bothered to go back and have a look, but every time the Bank of England raised the interest rates, I swear the text from the bank to say what I was now going to pay came before the Bank of England actually said what their increase was going to be. I mean, talk about bloody emails, letters, texts to say, woohoo, we're going to charge you more, boyo. Mm-hmm. And you're going to pay, or we're going to come in and rip it from your, you know, your cold, dead, lifeless fingers.
In many circumstances, Nigel, they've borrowed that money on the open markets over the last few years and are paying, you know, whatever rate they're paying on it. So obviously any more they get from you is extra profit to them in many cases. Not everyone, but in many cases, you know, that it's very, very profitable interest rates for a bank. Very profitable. And you can see that by some of the results that are coming out and will come out. But then there was a bank last week whinging about defaults and, you know, credit spiraling out of control and that sort of thing. And who is the one? Oh, yeah. You know, the Ocean credit card, the one that's like 49% APR or whatever it was.
Yeah.
Their shares are plummeting because of the massive number of people that are not paying them back. So their shares have taken a right tumble. You know, surprise. Who'd have thought, you know, interest rates go up, cost of living crisis, and someone's got a 49% APR credit card and they can't pay it. Who'd have thought? Shock horror.
Exactly. I mean, just think about this one, folks. Credit card company, not really part of a bank, just a credit card company. How do they manage? You know, what are the assets upon which they are lending this money out to people on credit cards? Where did they get that money from? Interesting. Anyway, more about that. But Ray, I think that's, you know, very much, folks, here, this is just a kind of a follow-up to a follow-up, which is, folks, get in touch. Tell us the situation. We're going to do another podcast episode about one that's kind of triggered a series of things that you need to think about when you are prepping a deal and you're putting the numbers together for a deal. And we'll talk about that because it's very important. It's about bridging finance and durations and all the rest of it, because they've highlighted a real issue that crops up. So that'll be in the next episode. But Ray, I think it's, you know, the response from people has been absolutely fantastic. Please keep them coming in. Everything is, if not doable, then it is definitely you're not on your own with it. So don't ever feel that you're on your own, that you're at the depths. I think anyone that's put themselves out there, who's gone to raise money, they've found out how to raise money, they've gone down the right steps, and for whatever reason, it has not worked. I think the very fact that those people, you know who you are, you've had the courage to do it. Well, let me tell you, the vast majority of the world would never dare do it. And the fact that you've done it and proven correct that you can do it, I think you can. All you need is someone to give you a helping hand to get you back on your feet, dust yourself down and go again. And I think you will, you know, you'll learn from it. You'll be able to do it again. You'll be able to get back everything that was lost or everything that you owe to friends, family, or whatever. And I think it's that bounce back ability that just marks you out as someone who is not part of the crowd, someone who's willing to stand up and put their, you know, their thoughts, their efforts, their energies on the line. And if we can be there to give you the hand up so that you can go again, and this time, you know, make it work, then we'll be here for you. So do get in touch with us. Hello at htrmoney.co.uk.
That's it. I should say it was Vanquis Banking. So it's Vanquis Banking Group. That's the one where the share price has plummeted. It was at 250 or 251 or whatever it was this time last year. And now it's at 116. So it's a 41% drop year to date. And Vanquis are the ones that charge, you know, ridiculous amounts of money for their credit cards and for their interest rates are just ridiculous. But anyway.
Yeah. And for some people, you know, the threat of we're going to spoil your credit rating, it's like, so what? A lot of people are just going, so what? Don't care anymore. And just, you know, not pay it, because there will be something else. But even if you do well, even if you're good, they still sometimes have a go at you for, no particular reason. So I can see a lot of people throwing their hands up and just going, oh, to hell with you, and walking away from it. So probably, there we go.
An episode we probably should do, you know, how to raise money, how to deal when it all goes wrong for a lot of these things, because, you know, sure enough, we hear about banks and their behavior, and some of the banks, quite honestly, their behavior is atrocious. But that has a knock-on effect, you know, Nigel. I mean, if a bank turns around and is charging ridiculous interest rates, and it's, well, not ridiculous even, if they're 2%, 3% above base, you've got people who, you know, a year and a bit ago were paying, you know, a couple of percentage points, now are paying 8, 9, or even 10. And that's money that's just being sucked out of the business that would have gone to something else. So there's a knock-on effect. That knock-on effect is utilities are in delay. You know, business rates then get delayed. The council may come after people on business rates. They may, you know, it's threatening. And quite a lot of the time, the business then spends a lot of time trying to firefight and keep the wolf from the door and loses focus on actually running the business. And, you know, you get into that downward spiral. And so, again, if you're listening to this and you think, well, that's what's happening to me and I've got nowhere to go, there are solutions. There are always solutions and things that you can do, you know, so that you're not to worry. And I'm not talking about, you know, doing asset and liability and how much can you afford and all that kind of carry on. No, there's other things that can be done to essentially stabilize the business. So, again, if you're listening to this and you're thinking, well, actually, that's me. I'm a bit under pressure. I'm feeling underwater. I'm feeling I've no one can turn to. I can't speak to my business partners, my wife, my husband, or whatever about it. You know, fire an email to hello@htrmoney.co.uk. And if we can help, we certainly will. If we can point you in the direction, we certainly will. Because what people do not know is when a debt is handed to a debt collector, invariably, that needs to come with a deed of assignment, and it very, very often doesn't. But a debt collector usually purchases a debt. You know, they're not acting on behalf of someone. They've usually purchased the debt. Now, if they've purchased that debt, that usually means the debt has been paid off. But you don't know that. And also, the person you have the debt with, whether it's a bank or another lender, may have taken out an insurance policy which clears off that debt if you default after 3 months. So there's a number of things you can do to check out whether that's real or not. And then if a debt collector does turn up, they are what's known in law as an interloper. In other words, you have no contract with them. So if you have no contract with a debt collector who's an interloper, you don't need to respond to them. You don't even need to talk to them. No one has a right to turn up at your place of business or your home address unless they are invited. The only person that can do that is the postman, Royal Mail. They're the only ones that can turn up uninvited. Everyone else needs to be invited. But there's a process for dealing with that. So if a debt collector turns up waving a red piece of paper, because they nearly are, always have red on them, don't they? And all angry and asking you to sign stuff or do this or agree a deal to clear this off. Do not. You know, there's a process for dealing with it. Again, we can help you with that. And it's polite. You don't need to be, you know, you don't need to be aggressive or anything like that. You just need to ask them a few questions. Well, I will send you those questions. I will, you know, you just need to ask a few questions of the alleged debt collector, finding out what kind of do you have a contract with them? The answer is no. And they will try and get you into a contract. They will ask you to sign something. I'm saying don't sign anything. Now, all of this is to help you stabilize your business and to get back onto an even keel. I'm not doing this to try and avoid paying things that are legally due. But at the same time, the tactics that some of these organizations use have been psychologically honed over many, many years. And most people, when they get to a position of having to pay a bank, the default setting is, well, I borrowed the money and I have to pay it back, or society will think I'm a terrible person. Well, quite often, yes, you've borrowed the money, but you've actually already paid it back in circumstances you may not be aware of. So don't be thinking, you know, that you're some kind of bad person. Quite often you're not. And like I say, circumstances vary. Everybody's different, but you can easily find out. Just fire us an email, hello@htrmoney.co.uk. If you want those questions for debt collectors, or if you want some help or templates or anything like that, we have all of that. And as Nigel says, you know, we're getting ourselves organized so that we will be in a position to do it a little bit more efficiently than we are now. But for the time being, we're managing to handle the volume of inquiries that are coming in. So don't be afraid. Don't be thinking, no, they'll never respond to me. Yes, you will get a response. You know, you will definitely get a response. And I don't mean an automated response. It's me. It's Nigel. We're the ones that respond. And why are we doing that? Well, because you've listened to this podcast. It's a kind of way of giving back. A lot of the time, many of the people that contact us have listened to lots of podcasts. You know, this is not their first rodeo. They've listened to lots of podcasts. So that's why we're willing to help, because you've been listening to our podcasts and leaving reviews and giving us reports and all this, which is great. So we just want to give a bit back, some of the things we've learned. So we know about raising money. We know about pitching. We can teach people how to pitch for money, how to put proposals together, what a good deal looks like, how to structure a deal, how to check that the deal is actually okay. Are you being ripped off over charges? What about brokers? What about, you know, there's a whole host of things that we can help with. But right now, we're talking about banks, we're talking about commercial liens, and anybody who's in a bit of trouble, a bit of a pickle because interest rates have shot up, it's cost of living is difficult for everyone. Don't stick your head in the sand. Don't be thinking that, you know, this will go away, because it won't. You have to face up and deal with challenges. And all we're doing is giving you the ammunition to deal with those challenges. So hello@htrmoney.co.uk, fire it over. I'll see it. Nigel will see it. And you'll get a response from one of us. Nigel.
I think you said it all.
I've said it all. Oh, is that? Are you drawing your hand across your throat? That's the end of the episode.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, if that's the end of the episode, I hope it's been useful. Like I say, this is the first episode you've listened to, please listen to the previous couple of episodes before this, and you'll see what we were talking about. But on that bombshell, I've been Ray McLennan.
I'm still Nigel T. Best, and we'll see you again soon, folks. Cheers.
Bye bye.
Thank you for listening to the How to Raise Money podcast. It's made for people who want to raise money as debt or investment equity for their business or property proposal or empire. The website has all the useful links and underlying research, and you can get downloads of the checklists and other useful information. See you next time, where we can show you how to raise money. There is abundance. There is money enough for everyone on the planet. The question is, who has yours?